July 20, 2003, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. off by drop. Light by fright. Night by light. There ain't no good. There ain't no blame. Make the fall. You cause blame. Devil ashamed. How could a thought extract the shining beast of thought? You hang up. Now you talk. If you got ears, you gotta listen. Old women sweat, young girls glisten. There's more than what you thought. How could a thought, the shining beast of thought, standing there burning like a toe in the sun? Back is breaking, work is never done. She's swinging spuds on the end of a string. Spills the ink off the sink, down the brain. Don't you wish you met her? She's not bad. She's just genetically mean. Don't you wish you never met her? Don't you wish you never met her? Don't you wish you never met her? Dirty. Never met her. Wow! She's swinging a sponge on the end of a string. Don't you wish you never met her? Don't you wish you never met her? Don't you wish you met? Don't you wish you never met her? Don't you wish you never met her? Dirty Blue Jane. Don't you wish? Don't. Dirty Blue Jane. Don't you wish you never met her? Don't you wish you never met her? Dirty Blue Jane. She's not bad.
What from Pedro Show. Sunny day here in Pedro, north of the equator, east, west of the Rockies. Pleasure Point, Love Grotto, or the other way around.
Wild Kingdom's rocking.
Wild Kingdom. Which, by the way, there's a new and improved Wild Kingdom website, right?
Yeah. I don't know the Earl.
No?
There's a link on the bromat.com to it. It's some, like, Johnny Chingus dot tripod,
convoluted.
You can link up on the bromat.com though.
Okay.
And you know
so
what?
So it's an extension of the Bromat world.
Yeah, in about 2 weeks it'll have a little link for some live streaming action too.
Well, then Matt's going to have some streaming here from Love Grotto. So you get the live in the flow spin cyclage.
Action.
Happening. Been paddling. They've been having signs in the harbor. Too much bacteria, so I've been paddling in the open sea. Not too far from the shore, but still a couple hours out there. I've paddled to the automated lighthouse, the Angel's Gate, which is a trip from that side.
You got a regular route you've been doing now?
Yeah, I parallel the beach and then parallel the breakwater. First time I did it, it was pretty heavy. First time I went all the way to Angel's Gate, it was kind of heavy seas, and I was bobbing 10, 15 feet, maybe. If I was prone to seasick, I would have been puking my guts out, you know, but luckily I don't have that problem. Yeah, one time, me and Kara took Kim and Thurston to Catalina, and Thurston puked his brains out. So did Kara, but, well, she had one puke, but she stayed up on the deck where Thurston stayed down. He was just fouling.
Yeah, worked.
Fouled the head, fouled the deck.
I worked the boats for a while catching puke.
Yeah, they can get like 700 people, and if you got half of them puking, it's like
pretty good catching it too.
Well, this was all sky, all water. It was a heavy thing. So in the kayak here, I was bouncing up and down. But yesterday, very calm. I mean, it's still tough getting out because of the surf, the waves. So I got a little bucket in there. I have to bail because it's hard. You got to time it when the sets come in calm. But still, you're going right into it and it come breaking over the bow.
Yeah, and there's little sets happening these days, huh?
Yeah, so I haven't figured that out yet. But like I said, I have a little cut-out Clorox bottle I use as a bailing scoop. And once I get out past the breakers, I start scooping it out. Mm-hmm. And then begin my paddling. I go east along the beach. I mean, 100 yards or something off. I'm not right on the coast. But I'm not way in the ocean, too, in the middle of the sea. And that parallel the breakwater all the way around to the Angel's Gate and the old automated lighthouse. And then I turn about and head for the one-mile buoy, this red one here. You know.
Have you gone west of that yet, to like Royal Palms or anything?
No. I go around there. There's usually a bull seal and like his 20 girls, his harem. And I don't fuck with them, I don't get too close.
Nice, I'm howling.
They're intense. Yeah. Well, also, there's I think it's a mechanical horn or something. Yeah. It goes with the buoys up and down. Man, that buoy was bouncing too, and so it's horn. So they're on there hearing this. And he lets you know if you're coming in too close.
They're making his puking sounds.
Well, they're kind of like lions, where the guy has to keep driving off the young guys who want to take the harem over. So, I don't know what they think I am. Anyway, I paddle around, then I go to Furman. There's usually dudes surfing on the rocks there, right below the lighthouse. And then I parallel along the coast there and come back into Cabrillo. And it's pretty much, it's intense. Once you get out, it's not too bad, if it's not a big bounce choppers, except for the boats with the wakes. Some of these clowns, some guys are cool and they'll slow down when they see you, and get kind of further apart. Some dudes, come really close to you jamming and put up these huge-ass wakes, and I don't know if they realize, maybe karma though, like some big can boat, container ship will like put up a huge wake on their ass. It's quite a trip out there, and the pelicans are getting more used to me. They're flying right by me, really low. It's really intense.
Yeah, they got the glider action down.
Wow, amazing. Really are amazing. Now, the gulls and stuff, cormorants, they bob out there like little buoys swimming about. One trippy thing is kelp beds, because you can't get your paddle really in deep. So that kind of slows you down. And there's beds of it. Depends on the tides, where, how close they are and everything. So I try to maneuver around them, because you can't get deep in. Thursday, when the ocean was a little rougher and I was up and down, I was paddling back from the lighthouse. And I see this fucking bathing cap, and then these arms, and it's some old man swimming out in the middle of he must have swam out from the shore and was coming back, or jumped off a boat or Catalina or something. I couldn't believe it, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the little polar bear people are hardcore out there.
Yeah, well, the water's pretty warm now.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the reasons why we got a lot of bacteria in the harbor. But this guy just came up on me. It was like, whoa, look at this.
Bobber.
And he was an old cat, man, and he was swimming.
Yeah, I've been going
jamming
down about this time, like 5:30 in the afternoon, going to take a dip and just floating around.
I think it's a little cooler then.
Yeah,
I go about 8:30. The sign says 9 o'clock, but that's in the harbor. But, for me, the earlier the better, because, like with the bike, there's just less people. When there's less people, and that's one of the neat things about paddling out there, man. You can get solitude.
Total.
It's a trip, and you're out there, no one hears you mumbling to yourself, right? On the bike, if you start talking to yourself, there's people on the fucking side of the road, and they look at you like you're nuts, but out there, There's no one but the pelicans and the seals. I had an incident with the seal, and when I was in some of the kelp, his cat surfaced right in front of me. And like if he had shoulders, you know, he was all the way up. He looked at me, some big shiny eyes and the whisker. But they've never been belligerent on me or anything.
It's like little sea dogs.
Yeah, they are. They're a trip. I like the whole vibe out there. It's quite experienced, the kayak thing. Dirk says he's going to get one.
Cool.
So, and Danny Don Dalton, he's coming to Pedro Tuesday, and he's going to bring his girls, and we're going to paddle it. Oh, we don't really have a place to rent him here in Pedro, so we got to go to Long Beach.
Utah, man.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
He's Pedro originally. Yeah. Remember, his mama was the librarian at Pedro High.
Oh, yeah.
This is Dalton. Yeah, he's cool people.
Yeah,
very cool people. Yeah. So they're going to come and paddle. Like, they got two-man ones. So he's going to take his little daughter with him, and then the other daughter will be in a one-manner, and I'll take mine. So even cool. Tony Platt with, you know, bad hips, he's going to try it. Dirk says he's going to get one. It'd be cool to get people in the...
Yeah, a little...
I chatted with my mom this morning. There was a van outside. There was two kayaks on top of that, so her neighbors must be doing it. So, I don't know. It is a trip. It is a trip about it. Canoe thing, you know, a little too dangerous for ocean. you float too high up on the water, and you can... flip over easy in those guys. But the kayak trip, there's this other thing where cats have these boards. They look like surfboards, but they got a chin thing. They're paddle boards. These guys are out there paddling, but that's sunburn rock, man. So a couple of them, they have a little thing where their eyeballs look into.
Well, like peek through the board?
Yeah, because you can imagine them. Paddle on them on your belly, right? You're laying down. How do you look forward?
Mm.
Maybe there's a mirror. Maybe they're looking down, you know.
Wow.
Starfish. And stuff.
They got like little frisbee hands.
Maybe
things.
It's a chin thing. No, it's their own hands. It looks like a surfboard almost. Mm. You know, it is a little different. In fact, they're a little narrower and not as shaped. And, you know, pretty long.
A big old gun.
These guys are on there and it's like a paddle. Yeah. They're not using their legs. It's all arm rock, you know. And then, of course, there's the parasail cats.
Oh, those guys are nuts.
Kite surfing, they call it, I guess.
Yeah, total air.
It's kind of, the board is like a windsurfer thing, but there's no sail. What they got is a big parachute kind of thing, paraglider kind, not a round one. And it's got handles.
These guys are
flipping.
Man. Yeah, total air.
Must be totally strong. I heard the windsurfing, you have to be really strong, too.
Yeah, this place blows. Hurricane Gulch is like one of the best spots here on the point.
Yeah, right. And then Huntington, too, there's a lot. Or you catch something where it comes around, you don't have a huge waves and stuff, so you can, but you get good wind. So, but you know what? Kayaking's good enough for me. I like it a lot. Now with the new seat on the bike, pedaling is a lot more healthy for me.
So coming up, when you're down at the further... lighthouse out there in the middle, coming back up
to Angel's Gate.
Yeah, when you're out past that one, like the Pier 400 spot.
Yeah, that's inside the harbor. Different than outside.
But
there's
still got some currents when you're coming back uphill, huh?
Yeah, the harbor is more about. There's some currents. There's current right at the Angel's Gate for one thing. When you go across it, it's kind of tough because you don't want to hit waves really. From the side, you want to hit them either from behind you or ahead of you, because you can get the flip thing. So when you're going across Angel's Gate, you're dealing with those guys. And then there's the boat wakes, and they're pretty intense because they're contained in the harbor, different than out in the ocean.
Yeah, bouncing around.
But as far as waves and stuff, like with wind, it's probably smoother in the harbor than out.
So you bust out the orange helmet for the kayak?
No, I wear a big brim hat.
Oh, yeah.
And I wear a life jacket, a yellow life jacket. But the sun, you know, I wear a long sleeve t-shirt. I got gloves on because the paddling. When I do this, man, I don't stop. I'm constantly going. You know, once you get it down, I hardly hit my side, hands on the side. At first they used to hit big time, and then the salt would get into the wound. But now I got it down. It's almost like boxing. Huh? Left, right, left, right. But then kind of with the infinity sign, figure eight. Because you got to put
one stick paddle, right?
Yeah, you got to put the paddle in the water one side while the other side's coming out. So there's that motion. But the main motion is almost like you're boxing. Left, right. And you just keep it going. And it's not as tough as it seems.
Huh? Get in a little mindless groove and just start.
Yeah, totally. It's also how you steer. And there's current, so you have to compensate. You know, there's a current pulling you out. You can, but it hasn't been too intense in me where I had to, like, fight. I think you could get in trouble if you went too far out and got tired.
Mm.
You know. But I'm never that far from the shore. So I like going in the harbor a lot, but I don't want to go in there with bacteria. I can't get sick.
Yeah.
I'm in good health now, which is a
good thing.
Good thing for me. Good thing for all of us.
So you don't see any channel crossings in the near future? Little island trip?
Catalina? I don't know. That must be balls out. Carry a radio. Imagine. You know, asking for help. Anyway, so some summer fun with Watt. August 8th, I'm going to go to Long Island, actually on the 5th, so I can practice a couple days, do that Stooges gig. And I hear they rent kayaks on Manhattan at Pier 40, Pier 63. So I'm going to try and paddle in the Hudson.
You probably got some bacteria.
Yeah. But they get their water from Hudson. I think the East River is more filthy. I know the East River is harder to paddle because bigger currents. But Hudson's a biggie. But, yeah, maybe it's got foulness.
That'd be cool to have a little paddling tours, checking out different places.
Paddle around Manhattan. That would be a trip. I've taken the Circle cruise. Uh-huh. I've got like a cruise that goes around Manhattan, the whole thing. I did it once on New Year's Day. It was trippy. It wasn't snowing or anything. Kind of cold with the wind. I did it with Juan Rosenfelder. So we'll see what's up. They want me to stay with them for the Detroit gig. So I'm going to be gone 10 days. In August in New York City. And it's stinky, sweaty town, I'll tell you. Whoa. But it's intense, exciting. There's people there I know. Things to see and do. I haven't really spent time in the town there for a while, so we'll see how that develops.
Cool conditions to be there.
Yeah. Well, the gigs, yeah, but it's not the best time of the year, man. It's a torture. Humid, hot, all cement. Intense, all the sewers backing up. It's summertime in New York City is not most happening. But I'll make the best of it. There's a lot of nice people there. A lot of friends. About 3 weeks ago, Cobra Verde came to town and I played, came on stage and did an encore with them and stuff. Then after, but right before the gig, I did an interview with their singer, John Pekovich, June 30th, 2003. And, I'd like to play that for you now. So, Watt for Pedro Show. Here's John Petkovich, Cleveland's Cobra Verde.
What's the name of this tour? Do you name your tours?
This tour, we were thinking of calling it, we did call it Liberate Us from this Dictatorship of Bad Taste Tour. Because it's like, you think about it, is, you know, people talk about dictatorships, but they never really grasp kind of how deep the dictatorship of bad taste really can, how totalitarian of a state that really is. Because people seem to believe that, you know, that politically they are free, culturally they are free, spiritually there free, but it, when bad taste reigns, it negates all of those kind of like those illusions that people have.
I always like
songs that have a U and a me in there, so that there's a personal dynamic, like, you know, like those John Donne poems, where there's this kind of like proximity between two people. And I just think I've never understood when people are either, when they talk about, like, I was talking to someone about this, and they were telling me, oh, you know, I always write confessional songs just about me. I was like, well, how can any song be just about you? Because to say that a song is just about you assumes that the world does not intrude upon your life. You know what I mean? And unless, you know, it's not, and not just in a way that, like, you start thinking about your personal engagement with society, even the way you deal with human beings, other human beings. Like, I think, like, a lot of times what I was thinking is, like, people talk about, like, postmodern, like, the postmodern theory and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, how is a theory if everything that a politician will say is already based on a focus group that already determines what they want people to say, for that person to say, they then say that. Or even in music, how you see how, like, so much of it is, I don't even know if there is focus groups in music, but you see, there's already there is that calculation in the individual. Wow, this is what people want to hear, this is what they will respond to. You know?
Isn't that the idea of the producer?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking at the record store?
Yeah, definitely.
And if he knows the zeitgeist,
yeah,
exactly. That's kind of target market.
Yeah. And that's why I never understood where, you know, like, I always like songs that are very personal, very have a very personal dynamic and stuff, but yet, you know, kind of the weight of the world is at all, at all times, you know? I mean, at this point, I don't know.
Well, maybe that's why people are saying, oh, the song's just about me, because they're afraid to get called on that.
Yeah.
And the way it is on,
yeah, sure.
They want to shirk.
Sure. But I think, don't you think it's a lot of it is also this victim culture, kind of confessional victim culture thing that we live in, where it almost seems like if you can make yourself into some sort of victim or martyr or something like that, somehow, like, you know, like, it's like, you know, to play the victim, you know, this victim culture, you're kind of buying into this whole thing in America, but this identity politics that, like, oh, I identify with, like, for instance, oh, our way of life.
Yeah,
a way of life. And I was talking, like, I've always thought, like, you know, I always thought music has to come from the supreme human being, you know, which is not identified as being, you know, as being gay or according to some political orientation. There is a kind of supreme human being there that is engaging with the world in some way. You know, that could be, I mean, I think you could have, like, I think, like, poetic, like, love songs, like, Leonard Cohen songs, always to be struck as being songs that were of this world as much as they were of his soul, you know?
Yeah, he's trying to convince me he's alive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, more than, like, oh, well, I belong in that chain store.
Yeah. But that's what I don't understand. See, I always thought that rock music really, or all in just general American culture, I thought that the worst thing that happened was when there was a thing called gay culture that was invented. Because I thought that when gay culture worked insidiously through the mainstream, I thought it made for so many, like, interesting sort of, like personas, for so many different interesting approaches to music. So many, like, there was a real insidious quality to the whole thing. You know, that's what I worry about.
Little Richard.
But yeah, exactly. You think about. I think sometimes, like, you know, maybe when people talk about not wanting to be part of the mainstream, it's almost like the mainstream gives us these little, like, petty little avenues to communicate almost, so we can't topple it. We really bring about regime times. You know what I mean? And I think I think at some point, like, in, you know, when punk rock, you know, I don't know. I wasn't around when it started. I used to, you know, like, that was before my time. But I thought what was interesting about punk rock was that it was a rebellion against the mainstream view of the world. And I think at the point where indie rock was created, there was already an industry, its own little industry, its own little way, do this, and then sell enough records that you can, like, you know, you can live off of it for 2 years, and then you'll travel in years 4, 5, or 6. You know what I mean? Sometimes I wonder, I wish there would be, like, a martial law declared, and shit would be just like, this stuff cannot operate, this stuff cannot function. Almost like, I mean, I sound like some sort of, like, a guy with a fascist view of the world, but I also think it's like, if you could almost erase all of this kind of, like, any little, it's not even subversive culture, but this culture where people feel like they're getting to express themselves, and almost like put it in a box so the whole fucking thing blows up. Because, you know, when you think about it, on one hand, okay, you have your own little world that, like, completely the Minutemen was part of the pre-indie world where you just do your, you have to create your own scene. Every city, every night you go somewhere, you have to create your own scene, you know? And then they see how it became codified and stuff. And now it's like, I don't sense that people have a certain kind of honesty. Not even just like you got to be political about everything. I don't think people see the depth of how the world is just intrudes on them every fucking day.
Right.
And it's like, and I'm saying, like,
so like genetic,
because we are in a world of small little like-minded little groups. We're all like to small little groups, and we all are ultimately targeted and sold to and marketed and stuff like that.
That's what I think. It's I don't like being self-referential. So like, we had this guy was like, I had to do an interview with this guy. I was like, oh, you have this song called Modified Frankenstein. Is this kind of like, a glam thing or something like that? I'm like, I really don't get it. If you really think that you are not made up, no matter what clothing you're wearing or how you, what your world view is, and you really don't get it, you know, I think that these people I think we do live in this kind of a, it is a world where, like, I don't think anyone, like, the shit that you, from what you eat to the things you absorb culturally to the way you respond to other people, it is all like, it's kind of, a lot of this is stage managed, and it's like, and the cult of authenticity, I thought it's like the biggest lie that's ever been promulgated by, you know, the authentic core, the earnest core, the real deal. I'm like, what in the fuck is the real deal? I thought it was so funny when, like, people say, come say, you should, you know, keep it real. Like, what does that mean? But I was thinking, it's like, what you're saying, it's like, I mean, I think it's like, I don't understand what, but that's why I think that the idea of the cult of authenticity that exists, that is more than anything else, it's like, that is the way to sell to people, to make them believe that they are feeling the real thing, that they are involved in something that's real. It's like, I think it's like, if people just admitted that what they were doing, that half their emotions and half the things they read and think are fraudulent, I think they'd be much better off than somehow. I was always on the side of artifice over and not authenticity. I just cannot believe, like, you know, we are all these kind of constructed creatures. I mean, it's like, I don't understand. I mean, and I was like, I go back to Yugoslavia and stuff like that. And over there, man, in the middle of, like, you know, the communist propaganda that you get there, the people, at least they didn't believe it. Here, the people fucking believe what they're being, you know, and that's the difference. Like, they're not skeptical of anything. I mean, I read this stuff in the Los Angeles Times and yesterday the San Francisco Chronicle, and I just could not believe what I was reading, because these guys are quoting, you know, straight ahead, they're quoting, you know, military figures, you know, over in Iraq about, you know, of course we're liberating them, we are doing this, and it's like society that believes in liberation and freedom, it's like society that always has to constantly talk about those things cannot be free. I mean, de facto it cannot be free, you know, because it has to always remind you that you're liberated, don't worry, you're liberated, you know, and that's why you get these, that's why, like, I think in America it's like such an earnest society, everyone's so earnest, oh, we believe in freedom, we believe in democracy, we believe in this, and people buy it because they are trained just to think the authentic, the real, the earnest, the genuine. I think if you almost taught people to think, like, you know what, there's no such thing as the authentic, what you have, everything you read, you must look at as being an artifice, some sort of
John Fogerty was not born on the Bayou.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, of course.
But as an arts transcend,
oh yeah, of course. Yeah, and that was the invocation of myth, which is like, there's a difference between the invocation of myth and the, you know, just the kind of the store part bought garbage that you're getting, you know. That you get, we get, like, we get in the past this food fed down our throats, you know. But I think it's funny, even in Joe Millionaire, that TV show, at the end of Joe Millionaire, he had to fall in love with her. Like, there would have been, after, because all along, it's like, oh, this is terrible, the American people are, you know, they're watching it, but they're also outraged as to what it says about us. That, oh, that money is rules everything, that a millionaire can all do all things. But in the end, you could have love your money, and you could want a millionaire, but in the end, you could still find love in America. It would have been better if the guy would have, like, come out of the closet at the end and said he's a homosexual and they don't want any of the women. You know what I mean? I would have found that entertaining in a way that, like, there's been a perverse entertainment to the whole thing. I go, wow, you know, I think that at least somehow he's, like, rejected everything because of, you know, because he's born homosexual. And he can't help it, you know? But no, in the end, they have to fall in love, you know? They have to be. And that's kind of this, and it seems like the storyboard to everything, you know? But it's no coincidence that it was not an American but a Russian who said, and that's Vladimir Nabokov, who said reality should never appear unless in quotation marks. The word reality should only appear with quotation marks on it. And that was not surprising that it was a Russian who talked about it, because it's a different worldview than here. I think they don't believe it. They believe in fucking reality. They believe in like what's real. They believe in like ideals and stuff like that. And that's like the worst part of it. Like, if you start believing in things like that, that's how you just like you got them already. Propaganda and stuff like that. I mean, I started thinking about this. Like, I see it in Iraq and I see what's happening over there. So I think I think that unfortunately people have yet to like see Yugoslavia and Iraq as being kind of one and the same. Like America going to war to marginalize Europe, it was one of the ideas. Look at Madeleine Albright created all the architecture that Rumsfeld is now using, establishing military bases in all southeastern Europe. I mean, this was before Rumsfeld talked about anything about ditching Germany or France. They already have the military bases as a result of American foreign policy in Yugoslavia. But I'm saying is, at some point you think about these empires, maybe it's not even, I don't think it's popular uprising. Maybe it comes down to the fact that like the arrogance of these people that have been running this country, you can't control that arrogance. You cannot control the arrogance of a Joe Biden or a Lieberman or a Bush or a Cheney or a Rumsfeld. These guys are just out of control. McCain, all these guys. You know, so maybe Paul Wellstone and maybe like my congressman Dennis Kucinich. I'm like really glad. Like at least that he's my congressman. But these guys, they will sow their own defeat because they're so arrogant. They go all over the world. Finally,
who will defeat them? Will there be folks living in this land?
Oh, I don't know.
Will they be the cast in
the only when Americans come home in body bags, and suddenly people here maybe start waking up, because I don't think they give two fucks about the MIAs, the Vietnamese MIAs. You know, I don't think they care about the Vietnamese that were killed. I don't think they care about if 30 dukes or 30 ragheads get killed. I don't think they care what happened to the person. But three Americans, we have families on TV and stuff like that. That happens every day. I think that's the only thing that can turn things around.
Thank you. the past to the future. A car in lane A may crash while a car in lane B travels on.
Watt from Pedro Show. That's Thick from Amarillo, Texas. The song called Why Long Distance Relationships Suck from their new record. We got to play with them at the beginning of last tour, me and the second man, and then on the way home, near the last couple gigs in between Oklahoma City and Albuquerque. We stayed with them. We had a day off, which was a trip. And they had a cookout for us. It was neat. And good cats. A guy named Skits is the leader of that band. And good people. Who else? Duke at the Wheelman and Mick Feely on Shotgun. Skits is the Bagman. Sure about that. Before Thick, we had The Future is a Complete Ripoff by Acid Reflex. Heather on the viola. Who's with Listenship. I'm next week going to record 8 songs with them. Echo Park Band. And we started off the set with an interview with Mr. John Petkovich from Cleveland's Cobra Verde, Outside of Spaceland, June 30, 2003, before they went on. John gets a lot of words in, a lot of ideas.
That's cool, he's got some stuff to say, too.
Yeah, you got to point that towards your brother, Matt. Yeah, there you go. He's got something to say.
Yeah, he's not just like Not just talking.
Not heating up the air molecules.
Yeah.
We got a visitor, Mr. Vinny Vegas, stopped by.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Telling us about his discovery of Mexican food after moving to Pedro from the hill.
Yes. I prefer the taco truck on 17th Street, Arturo's.
Yeah, you guys were talking.
Yeah, yeah. Ran into Vinny one night down there and eating late night tacos.
Yeah, it's been the quesadilla con carne.
Yeah, you're more a carne asada. You like al pastor.
Generally. But down there, I go for the carne asada off that truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, that truck has the best pastor, but in a quesadilla, you got to have it asada. It's less greasy.
Yeah?
Yeah. 11th Street truck, Jalisco's Tacos Jalisco's, that one's their better asada. But that's me. I'm writing for this local little magazine that Tony puts out, Peanut Butter Journal, a map and a review of the 5 taco trucks, 3 on Gaffney, 2 on Pacific.
What happened?
Which Tony?
Tony, 4th Street, Portrait.
Oh, yeah.
Killer Dreamer, that's the new band.
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah,
give me a burrito report, too.
Yeah, I will have to.
You know about Brother Matt and Burrito Day? He got recognized by the mayor.
Yeah, Mayor Tom Bradley.
Really?
Day. Yeah, this year is going to be the 20th anniversary of Burrito Day in L.A. A salute to our city's Hispanic heritage.
Yes, you're not pulling my legs?
No, I got the documents hanging down there in the wall. Back when I was the news director at KXLU,
I
did a Bonefish Week story in Florida. It was Bonefish Week in Florida.
This is years ago.
What the heck is that? You know, they close the bank, you get a day off of school for Bonefish Week. you know, if they can do that, then we should have Burrito Day in L.A.
Good point, Brother Matt.
People started calling up and saying, you ever eat here, you ever eat there, try this place. And then the places started calling up and saying, we just sent our delivery boy up with the goods. So I had a little light bulb go off and saw visions of burritos dancing in my head. And it turned into a party, and Tom Bradley used to like parties. He threw some good ones.
Had some good donations and whatnot.
Yeah, I saw him introduce Watt before down at the beach.
That's right, the beach scene. He came in on a boat. Yeah, it was a trip. We were going on first since we were Pedro Band. And here comes this little boat across the channel, and on the bow was Mayor Tom Bradley. And he's a big man. He must be 6'5", 6'6".
He's a big dude.
Big man. He's right on the bow of the boat. He comes up, you know, the boat comes in, and he steps right off the boat, onto the dock there, and I'm standing there, you know, kind of incredulous. I can't believe this. And he reaches his hand out to me to shake my hand. I go, ha. I mean, my hand maybe grabbed, like, the ends of the pinky and the ring finger.
Yeah,
his hand was like an oar. He's like, this is big. And he goes, I hear Pedro is happening. And I welcome, Mr. Mayor. And we go up there and play right then. It was a trip.
That was Gorilla Beach never rocked so much before.
We only had one of them.
So many people. Yeah, there was too many.
Because we had this nightmare with the street scenes downtown, so they tried something down here.
And some people would say that was a nightmare.
Was that 86?
But it was kind of fun.
There was a lot of cars and traffic.
Yeah, they were parking at Harvard College. And
maybe 86 or 87?
Yeah, it was 86.
So it was definitely Fire Rose, right?
Oh, yeah, it was Fire Rose. The Minutemen was doing the street scenes, which was right downtown.
Those were happening, too.
Right, no, but those turned into melees, cops on the horses. And
that's not the one like the Silver Lake one, is it? What do they call it?
No, that's Sunset Junction. This thing was downtown, right there. You know, where the City Hall is and all this. Big stages and a lot of stages.
Yeah, that was great.
A lot of different kinds of music.
Cool music, all kinds, yeah.
But, like, people
blew it.
Can't get together, you know. They had to start fighting and police overreact, marching with the horses. It was a bad scene.
Yeah.
So that was coming up soon, huh? Like a month or so? Silver Lake?
Yeah. But that's changed now. There's a lot of out-of-town bands. So what can you do? I was talking about El Taco. You're not down with that.
El Taco's cool.
It's got a stupid name.
Good beans.
I love the carnitas tacos there.
It's real Caucasian Mexican food.
Really?
It doesn't have that Mexican flavor. Like if you want to do a restaurant with a good Las Brisas.
Century level.
Las
I don't
Breezes
know, man. There are Latin people working there. Big time.
It's
not Taco Bell.
No.
No hamburger meat, no Velveeta.
The tacos are pretty good.
No, they're not corporate.
The quesadillas, you know, they're fair to middling. A little red sauce and green sauce on it. But, yeah, they're good for late night runs. I left there one night drunk from the bar.
Accidentally.
Yeah, totally. And we got the food, and right after I got the food, before I even ate it, like, I puked, like, blah, like, out in front of the window where you trade for your money.
Yeah.
I drove, like, down the street, and my girlfriend at the time was just yelling at me for, you know, being a bastard.
Borracho.
Yeah.
Borracho.
Get up to her house on 19th Street in Mesa. She puked gets out, she takes a chow, I puke again, blah, and then she, like, yells at me some more, and I go, like, down the street to the right, and I wake up at like 9 o'clock in the morning, windows rolled up, dry, you know, like alcohol.
It's a jockey.
Total. Oh, it was terrible. So that's my Big L taco story.
Okay, Watt for Pedro show. Here's some Patsy Cline.
Needing me when she came along, oh, how strange you changed like night and day, just up and walked away when she came along. Still care for you.
them and they don't see. Sometimes it's mommy, sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's auntie with her ex. I lose control and then I get it. Says that we're not through. Let's make it number 22. And I'm all alone. I'd like to meet you. I'd like to reach you. Hear your voice on the telephone.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was the Homosexuals with Divorce Proceedings from Reality. Before that, some live Big Boys, old Austin band. I heard some stuff's going to get re-released by them. They were a great band. Tim Kerr and Biscuit. I think Washam was on the drums in those days. No, maybe. Or maybe he was with Butthole Surfers. Alzheimer is claiming another victory.
Right,
yeah. Anyway, that was Psycho Live from the split album they did with the Dicks, live at Raoul's from about 24 years ago or so. And we started the set with Strange by Patsy Cline. Coming at the end here, the first hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Stay tight, please. For hour two. July 20, 2003. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh, my life, they took my friends. They won't give them back what I want them back. I'll give them back now. And what has it got me? Just some teeth I can't chew. My favorite cereal with. I'll be in a pool and make it good. Keep it to tell any rules and all of them will I give up. Sometimes I get sad, but I'll get
Maggie and HS. The scented with the cuts. Your picking roses for the good. Tension for don't be free. It's rebate payments and checks. So can this boy be shut? Thursday night the Hungry Club. There are no ifs and buts. Language game, match and
from Pedro show. As Husker Du with Dead Set on Destruction from their first major label thing, Candy Apple Gray. Before that was Is an Ought, The Western World, Skritti Politti, and their first single. And we started off with the Serial Song by the Bicycle Thief, which was Bob Forrest's band after Thelonious Monster. Funny story about Bob. He's telling me last week he's much healthier now and works as a rehab counselor and helped this lady, young lady, out with that struggle. And he gets this check from her relative, Great Aunt or something, Grandma, can't remember which, but anyway, it's a check for $2.5 million. So, of course, her lawyers and all this are trying to claim she's crazy and, I don't know, conservatorship hearings and all this, but pretty strange story. Bob says if he does end up getting the money, he'll start a rehab place with it. So, strange world.
Hopefully he gets it.
Yeah. Even better, though, right now, I'm proud to say it's another segment of Brother Matt's Spin Cycle.
Cool. Thank you.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 23 is Buy Nothing Day.
We'll use some common beats. Common beats is something that anybody can follow. You don't have to get fancy with them like this.
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake. Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound be broadcast as loud as possible.
I want to see your hands over your head. Here we go.
Whoa. lives are non-white, non-Western, third world. Poverty and powerlessness are intertwined in color, in race. Discrimination and exploitation feed into each other today under global capitalism.
darkness around you. Allow the sun to play with your ears. Allow the sun to play with your ears. And let go. For this world is a multidimensional network of all kinds of vibrations. You can count all to your mind. Just be aware of the tones, and your brain will automatically take care of the sense. Just be aware of the tones, and your brain will automatically take care of the sense. And let go. Don't try to make any sense of what I'm saying. Just be aware.
Stop. Yes.
Yes, mom, I ain't gotta tell you, but it's your boy Ho from the U.S. You just lay down slow. Catch your boy mingling, England, meddling in the Netherlands, checking in daily under aliases. We rebellious, we back home, screaming leave Iraq alone. But all my soldiers in the field, I will risk a safe return. But only love kills war, when will they learn? It's international Ho, been having a flow. Before Bin Laden got Manhattan to blow. Before Ronald Reagan got Manhattan to blow. Before I was cabinet there back and forth. Bro, we had it all day. Poppy in the hallway. Cop one on Kasama to give you more yay. Yeah, but that's another story. But for now, I'm gonna turn it around and let the boy play. JC and we don't stop. Dick the ROC, we won't stop. Yes. Bounce, 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 bounce. Yes.
Sunday on the block, the berry at the honey, at the meat, at the middle of the valley, at the honey. ਹੁਸਨ ਦਬਾਰ ਮੁੰਡਿਆ ਤੋਂ ਬਚ ਕੇ ਰਹੀ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਹੁਣੇ ਹੁਣੇ ਹੋਈ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਰ ਮੁੰਡਿਆ ਤੋਂ ਬਚ ਕੇ ਰਹੀ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਹੁਣੇ ਹੁਣੇ ਹੋਈ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਰ ਮੁੰਡਿਆ ਤੋਂ ਬਚ ਕੇ ਰਹੀ
Those high. I was in Baghdad, then I would rock. I rock. I wanna rock this punk because I love punk rock. I wanna rock with heads because I love hip hop. I wanna rock my beat all around the block. There's just one love, so the round of rock. New world days and new world nights. New world wrong and new world right. With the new world songs and the new world backs. With the new world guns on the new world backs. New world devils and new world gods. New world dance to the new world's heart. New world names sing new world songs. New world plans are the new world laws. New world crying, the new world dies. The new world crying, the new world's trying. New world sons and new world daughters. They're already selling us new world water. New world beats for the new world to bang. New world streets for the new world to hang. New world president, new world drugs. New world resident, new world thugs. New world players for new world sports. New world style for new world courts. New world warriors and new world laws. New world prisons and new world bars. New world fight the new world fist. New world lighting up the new world flip. New world smoke and the new world burn. New world track and the new world step. Can't stop the wind to beat just drop.
From every state, and that we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spirit. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. We'll be right back.
21st century, and I don't give a damn. He's the missionary man. He made me well. Well, he's called heaven. That's my hell. See, I got to tell the truth. I'm a blue singing brother from the land of Duke. I don't get confused. Although I may be rapping hardcore blues, Hollywood said, hey, give me a $500,000 to change it, but I can't. They're trying to see me how to sing the blues. Blues. They must have done. I would come down fool. Blues is a music that's free, real. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century. This is the blues of the 21st century, and I don't give a damn if you can't get with me.
Thanks much, Brother Matt. Here's the Boats from Florida. From Pedro Show, there's some Eric Dolphy. Incredible, incredible musician, dedicated like John Coltrane, way into pracking. In fact, they played together for a little bit and would do these pracks like 15, 16 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, these guys, you know, the gig would be over, everybody else chasing the drogas and the women. These guys go up and prac. They were so into it. Their minds. Yeah, it was sad how he died. Like Mingus, he played with Mingus right before he did that Europe tour where he died. And Mingus was convinced it was some weird thing because when they toured in Europe just before that, they were getting some... There was a couple of idiots, Nazi, racist kind of things. So Mingus was convinced it was some weirdness. Apparently, Eric Dolphy didn't know he was a diabetic, you know, and went into a coma. So sad. He had that trippy lump on his head, like got bigger and bigger as it went on and on. But L.A. Cat, who was smoking. I mean, right there, we just heard him do The Meeting, which is more straight ahead, but he did some whack stuff. Before Eric Dolphy, I Make Love to Every Woman on the Freeway. Every Woman. That's new from the Urinals. They got an album coming out. We Listen for Knox by The Boats, a band that opened for me and the Second Man in Tampa, Florida last tour. And of course, Brother Matt's Spin Cycle. Finishing up here on Hour 2, July 20, 2003, Watt from Pedro Show. Brother Vinny.
Hey.
You gotta do the adios, piojos.
Yeah. Gotta do my thing. So it's good to see you.
Make like buffalo chips and hit the trail.
next week, I'm gonna bring some.
Is that your leash?
The leash is definitely going off.
You're gonna make like a shepherd and get the flock out of here?
And next week, I'm gonna try to bring some homegrown music over here for you.
Okay, Pedro music.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sit tight. July 20, 2003. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Here's part 28 of the Fourth Tower of Inverness.
It's like a city out of my childhood dreams. There's a feeling about this place that reminds me of that Lotus Land. It's as though there's no one living in this city. So different than the Lotus City. But the feeling, the atmosphere of this city is similar. It's as though the streets were filled with people. But I exist on a level where I'm unable to see or hear them.
Jack continues to roam the city, through the empty marketplace, across the silent squares, into the tiny parks. There's no one to be seen. Finally, he leaves. Crossing the city, he leaves through the back gates and continues down the road. Near the stream, alongside the road, is a house, a very small building. But as Jack nears, he hears the sound of someone humming softly to themselves.
What? Good grief, I think there's someone here.
The door is open. Jack enters. seated at a table as a young boy. Upon the table in front of him are sheets of paper. The boy holds a pen, writing in a language Jack has never seen before. The boy looks up for just a moment, looking Jack full in the eyes. Then he returns to his slow, meticulous writing.
Excuse me. This realm is foreign to me. Can you tell me where I am? Well, can you tell me where all the people have gone? Well, where does this road lead? Look, can you hear me? Can you speak?
The boy looks up and he smiles. With half-closed eyes, he smiles a small, gentle smile. And from across that short distance, Jack is struck with a warmth, an energy that radiates from that smile and showers Jack as though a golden sun has just flashed its rays deep into his soul. And then the boy speaks.
I don't know how to read or write. I'm writing my history.
But how can you write if you don't know how to write or read? He's writing his history, and he can't read or write. This boy is quite mad.
And so Jack takes his leave, returning to the Silent City.
Just my luck. One person in this whole weird place, and he's off his nut. The only thing I can think of now is to search out these buildings and see if there's a jukebox somewhere. That's the key.
All that day and into the evening, he explores the houses, mangers, temples, and is awed by the imaginative designs and intricate craftsmanship. But no jukebox. And as the sky turns rose and then dark lavender, and the shadows creep long across the city, Jack returns back to that small building outside the walls of that eerie city. And he is there, sitting there, watching the mad boy silently writing his history, while the wind chimes softly move in the evening breeze. A peacefulness comes upon him, the sort of peacefulness that happens so rarely in one's lifetime. A deep love fills his heart. He watches the eyes of that mad boy, and for the first time in his life, he understands the word compassion. Love without attachment. Not asking for anything in return. Simply giving out of pure love. Jack feels that he could sit there forever in that silence. A silence so thick it seems as though it could be sliced open with a sword. And once opened, the inside would reveal all the hidden secrets of the universe.
Thank you.
them, trying to get away from him, trying to get away, trying to get away, trying to get away.
Never been inside. at your restaurant where canine can dine. Mysterious forest glade, a witch premise, may I say? Coon dogs sometimes lose their head. Killer coons come wild.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That's Listenship with the title track from their Dance Class Revolution record. This is a band I'm recording with next week, 8 songs. They're, they had a bad problem with one of the members, so I thought I'd help out. And it's trippy stuff, a lot more sparse than what they got right there. Before that, I don't know what the title is because it wasn't marked on the CD, but a Memphis band called K9 Arts that had Craig Schindler on bass, and trippy stuff. God, who's on the guitar? Ward Dodson, the guy who was in Gun Club.
Mm.
Another cat on drums. They're a great band. I played with them once, I think, with a pair of pliers. Before that, live Second Man with Paul Rossler on the organ and singing. He did the last 2 weeks of last tour after Pete did the first 6 weeks. And that's a pop group song called Genius or Lunatic. It was live in Gabe's Oasis, Iowa City, a couple months ago. Before that, a band called Son of Hand Puppet with the tune West Georgia Monkey. And we started off with part 28 of Fourth Tower of Inverness. Here's Frank Black doing some James Brown. Watt from Pedro Show. Done me. I see.
strange, it's sleek, it's sleek, it's magnetic. I hate to be a day too hard, it's a mess. I love to get away to where it's nothing less. I watch a liquid flow from a thousand miles away. Another great container, another working day. I think about my feelings, but I don't feel them here. Let's hope the moving time moves. Underneath the factory floor, in between the canteen doors, escape, roots exist. Logging, packing, filling, rooting in the main. Nobody has access to the use of their brain. Looking at the clock, waiting for a break. Numb, stuck in pain, my fingers start to ache. The radio is playing and it boosts my morale. But I'm only listening for the sound of payday anyhow. Slugger's talking when my mind is in a whirl. Circles like the great machines revolving into hell. Just outside the factory walls, the sound of music calls. My mind isn't on the work, it doesn't belong. It takes the two your duty, they pay me for my time. I run away and spend it on another factory line. Does anybody live here? I can't believe it's true. It's so unattractive. Listening to the gearbox groan leaves me inactive. Underneath the factory floor, in between the canteen doors, escape, Route 6 is, I make the product, I earn the product, I use the product. We'll be right back.
from Pedro Show. There's some Sly and the Family Stone with Poet. Before that, we had Goddamn Job by the Peasants. Brother Matt liked that one.
Yeah, they rock.
That's a Boston band. In fact, I stayed with them. What was his name? He's cool people. Yeah. God, I wish I could remember his name. Yeah. It doesn't say here on the sleeve. Chris, Eric, Bill, Tim.
The Peasants.
I don't know. Peasant dude. He's very cool people.
Peasant dude rocks.
Yeah. Before that, we had I Make the Product by the Desperate Bicycles. And we started off with Mother Popcorn from Frank Black and the G. Winding down here on Sunday. Getting a little dusk here in Pedro.
It's been a bitchin' weekend.
Yeah. Coming up in a few weeks, Brain Surgeons are on tour, which is Albert Bouchard and his wife Debbie. So here's something from their first album, Watt for Pedro Show.
Oh,
From Pedro Show. Whoa, I'm echoing. The delay. Going through all the equipment. That was Pond Man with All Things Wish to Fly. Before that, Kitty Little from Albany, New York.
Cute name.
Upstate, young band, teenagers. Love Is Gone. Before that, Jen's song from Austinitic. Maybe they're from Austin, I don't know. You know, a lot of these things cats give me on tour, and I just think it's interesting that folks get to hear it.
Cool to share.
Roll the dice. Maybe some spice. Maybe some lice. Oh, that's not nice. We start off with Brain from Terra Incognita, Brain Surgeons. Albert Bouchard was the drummer for the Oyster Cult. So if he's coming around your town, go pay him a visit and check out what he's got going. Trippy band. Okay, here's something from early 80s from Germany. Der Plan on the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you. Watt from Pedro Show. Faint Traces.
Luckiest man.
That was Rod Lean with In Motion. Funny how I got that CD. Before that was Der Plan with Rot Grün Tot, which means red, green, death. So He has them drawn to them crossing the street against the light. So maybe there's a lesson there to be learned. Brother Matt, thank you very much for vital assistance.
Cool.
We're at the end
you.
Of another Watt from Pedro show, the July 20, 2003 version. Coming to you from the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, here in Pedro. Coming up next week, another show. I have to leave for 10 days, starting August 5th, but we can get a couple of shows in before then.
Cool.
And everybody, try to make it a nicer place. A lot of anger, a lot of insecurity, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just keep the bitterness from overwhelming it all. And more importantly, keep your powder dry.